Welcome to AM Best Audio.
A recent survey by SAS Institute and Economist Impact reveals that 78% of insurance executives believe closing the $1.8 trillion global protection gap is an ethical obligation for the industry. This gap, covering life, health, natural catastrophe, and crop insurance, highlights a significant opportunity for insurers to address rising climate risks and underserved populations. As the impact of climate change grows, insurers see technology, data, and AI as key tools in reducing the protection gap, while also presenting new business opportunities. However, barriers like outdated technology and a lack of trust remain challenges insurers must overcome to meet this ethical responsibility and drive industry innovation. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio, and joining us now to discuss that is Franklin Manchester. He's the Global Insurance Strategic Advisor at SAS Institute. Franklin, welcome. It's wonderful to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Lori. Pleasure is mine. Appreciate you having me.
Franklin, what does the $1.8 trillion protection gap mean for the future of the insurance industry? And how can insurers take meaningful steps to close that gap? And what role does ethical responsibility play in driving those efforts?
Yeah, thanks, Lori. And I guess I'd start by sharing that, unfortunately, $1.8 trillion, that estimate is already too low. These catastrophic events like the recent wildfires we've seen in Los Angeles, Hurricane Helene last year impacting the Southeast U.S. is already widening that gap. There was a report from the L.A. County Economic Development Corporation that's been widely circulated about the estimates of property damage and economic loss. And if you look at those figures, the number of structures that were destroyed, the estimates, and just call it 30% on the protection gap because the estimates do vary. That $1.8 trillion from that event alone has already moved a couple percentage points. So the problem is getting bigger, and these events are happening faster and faster. For insurers, you know, closing that gap is an ethical responsibility that I'd sum up by saying building resilient communities is in all of our best interests. There's actually quantifiable data, a report from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Allstate that determined a dollar spent on climate resiliency, preparedness, et cetera, saves communities $13 in damages, cleanup costs, and economic impact. Insurers' role in this is they have the capital, they have expertise, and frankly, there is a business incentive that has been outlined to promote things like building fire-resistant structures, investing in wetland restoration and green infrastructure through their policy offerings, through their products, through their investment strategies, and their lobbying efforts. So the ethical responsibility is there. The business imperative is real, and that problem continues to grow every day as climate risk continues to evolve.
How about technology? How can technology help insurers close the global protection gap? And what role do data and AI play?
That's a great question, Lori. And I'd start by saying data is the fuel for AI. And when we look at the rapid technological advancements that are occurring around us, we are seeing new forms of data and data science techniques like synthetic data generation and causal AI evolving every single day. So the estimate I would give you is that about 400 million terabytes of new data are created daily, and as much as 80% of this data is thought to be geospatial, so aerial imagery, weather data. And these data are critical in developing our understanding how losses are evolving. You may have seen a recent story involving the cone of uncertainty is shrinking in hurricane forecasting. Well, this is due to the advancement of technology and improved forecasting. For insurers, examples of these technological innovations include computer vision to identify areas of higher or lower risk for wildfire through hyperspectral analysis, or better loss modeling through machine learning. These capabilities and more are possible with the power of today's artificial intelligence. And by using this information, their learnings through these technologies, these powerful tools, they then can educate individuals, businesses, their customers on how to mitigate their individual risk. And for us, for insurers, for society, that is a win-win.
Absolutely. You talked a bit earlier about climate and the rise of recent events. Franklin, how significant is the impact of climate change on the protection gap, particularly in underserved areas?
Yeah, Laura, you know, it's an unfortunate reality that climate change and equity are interconnected conversations. There's a particular report that the World Health Organization published in 2023 that starts off by saying, I quote, "Climate change presents a fundamental threat to human health." And that same report continues to outline how social and economic conditions are exacerbated by more frequent and intensifying climate events. The harsh reality is about 250,000 additional deaths are estimated to occur between 2030 and 2050 as a result of climate change. When you look at these underserved populations, about 3 billion people live in highly susceptible areas where the protection gap itself is as high as 90%. So if you look at commonalities of why that is, weak infrastructure is one reason that's noted. And the estimate, again, this is a very sobering statistic. Living in one of those areas, the likelihood of death occurring as a result of an extreme weather event is 15 times higher. So climate change is impacting individuals. And in our work with The Economist, one of the futures that we discuss is there is a very real possibility that by 2040, there could be as many as 1 billion climate refugees as a result of climate change.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
What are some of the primary barriers that insurers face when trying to address the protection gap, and how can they overcome the lack of trust in the industry to help close that gap?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because insurance essentially is a trust business, right? You're buying a promise with your policy of insurance. And I would say one of the primary barriers is perception. The industry has a branding problem, in my opinion. Now, I will be the first to admit that I am biased. I'm an underwriter by training and probably will always identify as an underwriter. So my bias is that insurance is a noble business. Unfortunately, most people do not see it that way. I tell you a story. My former CEO talks about insurance being a protection business. Sometimes he would say it's the original crowdsource. And I believe he's right. I love that view of our business. And it's something that I think individuals who maybe aren't as biased as I am could get on board with seeing insurers as an entity, a partner that they could trust if we shift their thinking in that way. So I think that overcoming the trust issue has got to start with making a commitment to doing things differently. Insurers have values like all other organizations that they lean into. And by taking a page out of that leaning, could we promote a predict and prevent type of business model versus indemnification? I'd ask the question, will insurers make those long-term investments in building resilient communities? I think they will. And I think that speaks to another barrier, frankly, and that's capital. You know, insurers have capital that they consider making investments into technological advances, into building infrastructure, deploying that capital is essentially making a decision to invest that may not pay off in the short run. So the barriers are real. I think perception may not be one of the barriers that is immediately obvious, but I think by shifting that branding from an insurance industry perspective, you begin to address the trust issue that is apparent with the business.
And what about external factors such as changing regulations? How do they affect insurers' ability to close the protection gap?
Yeah, and here I'd use the NAIC AI model bulletin as an example. There are different regulations like Canada's E23, the EU AI Act, but just sticking with where we're at here in the US, that bulletin has been adopted in whole or part by 20 states and districts. And regulating the business of insurance through a lens of AI means understanding what AI is and what it's doing. In that model bulletin, there are requirements that are discussed like data lineage, model drift, explainability, transparency. These aren't easy concepts to pick up, let alone explain to a regulator. I was in a conversation with a former regulator who basically said, you're going to have to meet your regulatory body where they are at in their understanding, not yours. So what that means in practice and practicality is when you implement AI, you're adopting a regulatory risk. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It simultaneously could be the solution to one of your problems, while it could be the cause of another.
Franklin, in what ways can innovation in insurance products, such as parametric solutions or microinsurance, help reduce the protection gap?
Yeah, parametric insurance is great. The event trigger versus a loss trigger ensures we're getting financial first aid into the hands of those impacted people and businesses, which entail shortens the road to recovery. If somebody loses their vehicle, their property is damaged, their business is closed, their ability to secure replacement transportation, protect the property from further damage, reopen a business sooner, even just a few days of savings can translate to tens of millions of dollars. And in doing so, you avoid things like policy limit exhaustion, lengthy investigations, and the buying power associated with those funds ultimately being diminished because you're securing that value from those funds sooner rather than later. And all of those examples help reduce that economic loss, thereby reducing the protection gap.
And what about reinsurers? What opportunities do they have in helping insurers close the protection gap?
Yeah, you know, insurance for insurers, right, isn't often thought of when we're talking about this, but they tend to have different and better data when it comes to catastrophic events due to the nature of their business in this ecosystem. And when I consider reinsurance treaties, how insurers tend to structure their reinsurance tower, I would applaud any reinsurer who's recognizing a customer of theirs, so an insurance company, who is engaging in activities to reduce or prevent those losses. Those activities being recognized in those treaties, right? Ultimately, I would expect the reduction of economic impacts and insured loss amounts to increase the overall availability of reinsurance and reduce its overall cost. So reinsurers do play a role here. And I think not only could they be a partner to help fund the innovation and the insight, honestly, from a business perspective, I think they see a benefit as well.
Looking ahead, Franklin, what do you foresee in this area in the coming years? And how can insurers strike a balance between affordability, access to coverage, and profitability in underserved markets?
Yeah, Lori, this is an area where I have some pretty strong opinions. My belief is that the value proposition of indemnification needs to be adapted, where insurers are really looking at the value that they add to our society in more of a predict and prevent type of value proposition. We're not going to prevent every loss. I don't expect that we will in our lifetimes. Maybe I'll be surprised and that'll be great. But doing so, shifting this perception, opens up access to insurance products and services to underserved markets because the financial burden of securing those products would be lessened. When you eliminate preventable losses, this alleviates loss pressure on the trade combined ratio, which feeds back into your rate-making activities. And you learn from catastrophes you ultimately cannot prevent, and that will feed back data into your modeling, your pricing, your underwriting processes. And we'll use those learnings to continue to adapt over time. When I look at the overall industry, we are seeing a widespread effort towards digitalization. and further rapid technological advancements are all but going to ensure that such outcomes of serving those underserved markets, striking that balance of affordability, are all but inevitable.
Franklin, this has been so interesting. It's been so informative. I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks, Lori. Always happy to chat and nerd out on insurance. So thanks for having me.
That was Franklin Manchester, Global Insurance Strategic Advisor at SAS Institute. For AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.